Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Ksubas Yutes. We're holding on Yutches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braiso, Ein Ne'emanim Lepoisle, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah spoke about a case where we have a shtar, a document with signatures, but we have yet to confirm, to certify the shtar. We have to confirm that indeed these signatures are real, are legitimate, and not forged. So the Mishnah speaks about a case where Edom come along and tell us, look, this is our personal signature. We can testify to that account, but, there's a big but, we signed it under duress. We signed it when we were ketan. We signed it when we were pasul eidus. The Mishnah says, we believe them. Why? Pesha asar pesha hiter. The same mouth, the same expression that initiated the information to begin with is explaining itself. We signed, but. Sure, we signed, but under these circumstances. But it's pasul, but it's not a proper signature. So the Tanakhama, our Mishnah, maintains that they are Ne'eman. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Ein Ne'emanim lepoisle. They're not believed. Divi Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim ayinu Ne'emanim. Chachamim disagree. Of course they're believed. Bishlem le'Rabbanim. Certainly, we will understand Shitas Rabbanim ki tamayu. Their reason is clearly understood. Sha'apesha asar hu'apesha hiter. The same expression that created the concern, created the rectification. It's just a term that we're applying here, meaning they are the ones initiating and explaining at the same time. Of course we trust them. It's either you believe all or nothing. So Chachamim's Shita is very well understood. Elo Rabbi Meir, my time, why would Rabbi Meir disagree? Answer, Bishlim Psuli Edis. We understand that if they claim they were apostle, they were relatives of the litigants, we don't believe them because that goes against something called Anan Sahadi. We are witness. We, meaning Bezdin, us, the general community, can testify otherwise. It's unlikely. It's irrational that what they're saying is true. Why? Look, the creditor, the malva, lends money. Do you think he's going to just take any two people off the street? Malva Gufe, the actual creditor, Mi'ikara, initially when he initiates the signing of this document, Meidak Dayeku Mechtam, before he brings Edom to be Choysein to sign, he's Meidak Dayek, he pays close attention to their identity and status. The fact that they are featured on this shtar is the biggest indicator to their kashrus status, and they can't come and undo that. Katanim Nami. Same thing if they claim that they were minors. That also flies in the face of the shtar. Nobody makes a shtar with katanim. Nobody would do it. Kidra bishimim in lakash. The Amar ish lakash. Chazaka, it is an established fact. Eina edim chayismin ala shtar. Edim would never sign a document. Let's say it's a purchase document, a loan document. Elim ke nasa begadda, unless the parties involved were adults. And likewise, nobody would write a shtar with Edom that are not adult. So this contradicts the Edom's claim to the contrary. Ela anusim my time. But if they say, look, we were forced, we were threatened, why can't you believe that? Amar of Chizda, you know why? Even if we're speaking about serious threat, bodily threat, pikuach nefesh, they're not believed. Because Rameir holds, Edom she'amr lahem, chismus sheker. Edom who were instructed to sign falsely, va'alte hargu, rather than get killed, so they're being threatened by pain of death, ye hargu val yachtamu sheker. They should allow themselves to be killed rather than sign falsely. So when they come and claim otherwise, they claim that they signed under duress. Even if it's bekuach nefesh, it doesn't justify, and they're basically incriminating themselves. We did something wrong, and we can't believe somebody when he incriminates himself. That's why they're not Neman when they say Anusim Ayinu. Amalei Rava, I don't understand. Says Rava to Rav Chisda. Pikuach Nefesh. What's, why are they painting themselves in a bad light if they come and acknowledge that they were doing it under threat? Now, Ilu also come on Lam Luchi. Suppose the Eidim will come to us for advice. Amrina Luhu. Certainly, what would we tell them? If they're being threatened, they're coming to ask a shaila. What do you tell them? Ziluch asuma v'leisis katlam. Certainly, go sign and avoid death. Because we know that nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. Ein lecha davar she'omed b'pnei pikuach nefesh. Nothing stands by the way of saving a life, except for the three cardinal sins. Ela v'edis kechavim b'gilui arayis u'shvichas damim b'lvad. So that being the case, that a yid's life stands higher than basically anything, that would justify signing falsely to save their lives. Ha'ashta d'chas, so now that they claim that they signed under this duress, under the circumstance of Pekuach Nevesh, Amrinu Lu will go complain to them, Amay chasmisa, why did you sign? It's fully justified. So why can't they claim that this is what happened? Elo time of the Rav Meir, the reason why Rav Meir does not trust them, because Rav Huna Amarav, the Amar Rav Huna, he said the name of Amarav. It comes an interesting concept. Typically, as we learned yesterday, the Bezdin requires kiyum. You have to certify a document before collecting on it, before actualizing it, right? Because, you know, the fellow can say it's forged, he can say I paid up. You have to go ahead and certify it by way of confirming the signatures, right? But let's say the loiva, the borrower, acknowledges. He says, yeah, I issued the document. It's a legitimate, real shtar. But I paid up already. In that case, you can use the document. You can take it and run with it, even though you haven't yet certified it in Bezdin. You haven't really confirmed the signatories. You haven't really verified the chasimais. Why? Because he acknowledged its authenticity. What do you mean? But he's claiming that, there's something wrong with it. I paid it up already. Doesn't matter. Because once the loiva is moide b'shtar shekosva, he's moide that he wrote the shtar, that he issued it, it's a legitimate shtar, that's it. Stop right there. So now we have a confirmed shtar by way of your admission. No better than a hada'as baldin, the litigant himself agrees. So then you take the shtar and you treat it as a proper legal document, in which case he can't come back even a second later and come back and challenge it and question it. Moider b'shtasha kosvay ain't tzorach l'kaima di malva. The lender no longer has to be makaima. It doesn't have to certify and confirm its authenticity. And that's the case we're speaking about here as well. So again, Rav Meir says, Eidim come and say, we wrote the shtar, yeah, it's a proper shtar, but we were forced. And we're speaking where the loiva is also an acknowledgement. He says, yeah, this is a proper shtar, unforged, totally authentic. So now we no longer need the kiyum of the Eidim. We no longer need the Eidim to come certify and support the chasimis. We have the loiva attesting to that. So we ignore the Eidim, we don't listen to them. So in conclusion, we have a shtar in front of us that does not yet have kiyum. It's not certified. Eidim come and say, we're going to certify it with a big but. We were ketanim, we were psulim, we were anusim. Chachamim say, ne'emanim l'paisle, they're believed because pesha asar pesha hita, we need them. So we have to believe them. Rabbi Meir says, no, they're not believed. And the Gemara explains, because when they claim psulim, we question that. Why would the Malva get involved in writing a shtar with psulim? Ketanim as well. We assume that the parties involved would insist on adults. Anusim, why not there? Because we're speaking that the loiva is in full agreement that the shtar is authentic, in which case he just confirmed and certified the shtar by his own express, by his own admission, and now you no longer can challenge the shtar even if the Eidim claim otherwise. Gufa, let's go and reanalyze this most recently stated concept. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Moide b'Shtar Shekosvay, Ein Tzorach L'Kaimoy, Once the loiva admits this is a proper shtar, that's it. No kiyum is necessary. Amulei Rav Nachman. And this obviously is in line with Rabbi Meir Shita, as we just explained. Amulei Rav Nachman. So he turns to Rav Huna. Ganove gnuvi lamlach. Why do you have to steal it? Why do you have to misrepresent this halacha? You sort of presented it as a universally accepted halacha, which doesn't allow for dissent. Oh, this is a fact. There's no question. If, in fact, you are following Shitas Rav Meir, right? Then say so. This is Rav Meir's opinion, which would allow for dissent, which would allow for others to challenge and perhaps follow the Shitas Chachamim who disagree. Yachid v'rabim alacha k'rabim, right? Amar le'es Rav Huna asks Rav Nachman, tell me, what's your personal opinion? Umar eichas heiches virlin, what do you hold about this shaila? Let's say the loiva is moida that he wrote a shtar. That's sufficient to certify the shtar, which doesn't leave for any more challenging on the shtar, any more questioning of the shtar. Amar le'e, he says, no, I happen to disagree. That's why he wasn't happy with it. The way the halacha was presented as a universally accepted halacha. I disagree. I'm like, ka'asul kamon ladin. In fact, when they come to us, you know, the malva brings a shtar and wants to collect with it. Amrina, lu, we tell them, zilu, go. Kaimu shtaraycha, go certify the shtar. Even if the loiva agrees and admits, not enough. You have to independently certify the shtar, v'chus ladin, and then you can go and collect with it, because otherwise, the Levi can just challenge the shtar. You know, you can say, sure, it was a properly written shtar, but I already paid it up. All that can happen if you don't have independent verification. But once it's independently verified, that's it. Show's over. Right? But otherwise, if it's just the Levi's admission that's giving you the right, then he can say, I paid up the chayv. I paid up this loan. If not, I could. If I'm lying, I could have lied better. I could have said it's forged. Right? The fact that I am acknowledging should lead you to believe me. So unless you actually verify it independent of his admission, you can't necessarily use it to collect your chayv. Interesting machlekes, right? The leiva is moided that he wrote it, but he claims that he repaid it and all that. Rav Huna says, once you are moided, you have, by your own admission, admitted that this is a proper shtar, it's certified, that's it. The fact that it's sitting in the hands of the mavet, in the possession of the creditor, is the biggest proof that you own the money. Otherwise, he would have returned the shtar to you. Rav Nachman disagrees. He says, the fact is, Chachamim requires certification. Until then, even if the loiva admits that he wrote the shtar, and it's a proper shtar, it's an authentic shtar, he can just come back and claim all types of other claims. I repaid it, all that. Rav Yehuda Mara, another halacha in the name of Rav. Ha'omer shtara monahuze. Let's say he claims this shtar is authentic, right? But it was amana, it was in trust. It says Shimon borrowed $1,000,000 from Reuven, but it never yet happened. It was just given to Reuven as sort of a it was deposited by Reuven in trust. He trusted Reuven that he will not use it until he actually gives him the money. So he was a trusting fellow, this Shimon. And he handed this document ahead of time to Reuven in good faith, thinking that he would wait until the time comes when he actually lends him the money and then, and only then, use the shtar. So when he get up and claimed that, in fact, this is the circumstance, shtar amana huzeh, it's a shtar of emana, of belief, of trust, but not yet been actualized. Einoi Nemon, we can't believe him. The Amar Man, who's claiming this Shtar Amana claim? Who's speaking? We have the Malva, the Loiva, the Edom. Who's the one? Elam the Amar Loiva. Is it the Loiva, the potential borrower mentioned in the Shtar? He's claiming, yeah, this Shtar was written, but it was given to him ahead of time. I have yet to receive the funds. Pshita the Loiva. Of course he's not believed. Kol Kamina. Is that in his power to go just challenge a document sitting in the hands of a malva? Everybody will say that. Vela de kamar malva. Oh, the lender himself is claiming that this shtar has not yet been actualized. Well, great. Tavel of bracha, blessing should befall him. Thank you so much. Why is he not neman? Ella de Kamri Edom. Rather, the Edom are claiming as such. We signed a document. It was handed over to the potential Mava who has yet to deliver the funds. So why aren't they Naman? Let's analyze the case. If we're speaking that their signatures can be confirmed independently by comparing it to other signatures which have been certified, etc. So we have independent confirmation that this is a properly written shtar. We don't need their admission. So they're not players. Of course they can't be believed. They have no right to come around and challenge the authenticity of a shtar. However, if we need their admission, we need their testimony, because we have no other independent confirmation of their ksav yad, of their handwriting. So now they're coming. This is our signatures, but these are the circumstances. Why can't we believe them? We're speaking that the Leiva is claiming that it's a shtar amona. And the question is, it's pashut, it's obvious that you can't just come and claim this type of thing. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda? The chiddush is ukud rafuna, the amar vuna marav. The concept that we just mentioned before, moide b'shtar shekosvoy ein tzorach l'kayma. The chiddush is, the novelty here is that once the leiva is moided that he wrote a shtar, moided that this is a properly written document, and was given to the malva, ain't zorach l'kayma. The malva no longer has to seek certification. So even though the kashrus of the shtar was generated by way of the leiva's admission, he's claiming on, he's explaining that this thing was never yet actualized. So believe him all the way. No. We cut it in half. We take the part where you say that it's a proper shtar. That certifies, that confirms the shtar, and we no longer listen to your claim. Once it's a proper shtar, you can't challenge it. So that's the chiddush here. I get up and I say, yeah, it's an authentic document, but was given ahead of time, in trust. We believe the first part, but not the second. We are speaking that the malve, the lender, is claiming as such. This was given to me in trust, but not yet actualized. Well, if that's the case, I get credit. Tavay lov bracha. Why am I not believed? We're speaking that this can lead to potential loss for other people. My admission will be to the disadvantage of another person, in which case I can't be believed on that. How can that happen? How can we have that my admission disenfranchises another person? The halacha is, suppose Levi borrowed $1 million from Shimon, and Shimon had already borrowed money from Reuben. When it comes payday, Levi will not give his money to Shimon, rather to Reuben directly. So in our case, when Shimon gets up and says, look, this $1 million loan never really happened. Levi never got any money. He doesn't owe me any money. He's doing two things by saying this. Firstly, he doesn't owe me any money. And number two, my creditor, Reuven, will also not have any right to collect that $1 million. So really, by way of my admission, I am causing Reuven, my creditor, a loss as well, and that I have no right to do. Ukd Rav Nosson, the son of Nosson, Menayin lo neisha b'chaver emona. What about a case where Shimon has money by Levi, v'chaver b'chaveroi, and Reuven has money by Shimon? So sort of a chain, a chiyuv. Levi owes to Shimon, and Shimon owes to Reuven. How do we know that when it comes payday, Levi, the last fellow on the chain, will actually return his money to Reuven, who is Shimon's creditor? You take the money and give it to the one who it's owed to. Levi owes it to Shimon, who owes it to Reuven, so Levi goes straight to Reuven. So now Shimon admits that this was never really a proper loan. He's really disenfranchising Reuven, which he has no right to do. Rav Ashi Omar lo Eilu l'kamri Edom, was speaking at the Edom, are acknowledging that this was just a shtar amana. Ude'en k'sav yodom yoytzim mokim acher. I was speaking where there is no independent confirmation of their signatures. So we need them to testify. If so, the Kamer, so you add a kasha, why don't we believe them? If we need them, we need them. Their answer is because k'drav kahana. Tom, rav kahana, osu layla adam. It is forbidden for a person, shayashe shtar amana b'sech beise, to have this type of shtar in your possession. It can lead to dishonesty. Mishem shenemar al tashkein ba'elach avla. Not meant to have an avla, something of dishonesty and crookedness in your abode. So when the Edom get up and say, you know, we signed an Ashtar Amana, they are incriminating themselves. And they're not believed. We can learn from this halacha. Edom she'amra amana yidvareinu, einem manin. If Edom get up and say, we signed an Ashtar Amana, they're not believed my time away, kivan da'avlu. It's something inappropriate. The assumption is they're not going to sign on this type of thing, and if they claim otherwise, they're incriminating themselves. So just before we go further, bottom line is, we had halacha that you can't claim that it's a shtar amana. Who's claiming? We have three choices. The loiva, and the chiddush is because he is the moed b'shtar, you no longer have to be mekayim it, you can't reckon with what he's saying. Or the malva, but it's to somebody else's disadvantage as well, he's not believed. Or the Edom, because they're incriminating themselves. So on the topic of the shtar amana and the avla, says the Gemara, Amr of Shubha Levi. So we spoke about shtar amana, that was Rav Kahana. Here comes another related case. Asle la adam shiyash shtar paro b'sech beis. One is allowed to hold on to a loan document which has already been paid up. Mishum Shanamar, because of the same pasuk al tashkein b'alecha avla, don't hold on to something which can create pitfalls and crookedness and dishonesty. You might be tempted to reclaim, to recharge the loiva and recollect the chayiv again. So this was in Bavel. We have one man, the Amar of Kahana, speaks about avoiding shtar amana. Rabbi Shmuel Levi speaks about avoiding shtar paro. V'ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael, that is a slightly different twist on things. They quoted Rav as follows. If there's something inappropriate, distance it from you. Get rid of it. What is that referring to? Shtar amana, like we spoke. Shtar pasim. Shtar pasim is a lashon of pius. Appeasement. So Shimon feels that he owes something to Reuven. He writes him up this fancy loan document. I owe you $1 million. This way Reuven uses it to polish up his image, to facilitate honor and covet in the community. So it's to Reuven's personal image advantage to hold on to this type of shtar, which never ever ever took place, never happened, never gonna happen. So that's called a shtar pas. Don't hold on to these things. These things are pitfalls that can lead to dishonesty. V'altashkin b'alecha avla, what is that? Zer shtar parua, holding on to a document which has already been paid up. So we have all three things. Amana, pasam, and parua. But back in Bavel, it was just one and one. Rav Kahana spoke about one type, shtar amana. And Shmuel Levi spoke about the shtar parua. So manda amar shtar parua. Shmuel Levi discourages the holding on to the shtar parua. Koloshkin shtar amana, certainly shtar amana, which is worse, that should not be held in one's possession. Umar shtar amana, but according to Rav Kahana, who discourages holding on to a shtar amana, avol shtar parua, but perhaps the shtar parua, it's not so bad, you can hold on to that for the time being. It's justified, the zimnin, because sometimes the mashile, the malve, will hold on to it. Apshite, for the coins, the safra which were paid to the scribe, really the loiva is meant to pay the expenses of the actual shtar, and the malva sometimes lays it out. So even upon repayment, the malva will hold on to that shtar a bit longer to ensure the loiva is living up to his obligations and paying him up for his expenses, so it's legitimate for him to hold on to the shtar, and therefore, Rav Kana did not mention shtar perua. Itmar, on the topic of honesty and clarity, sefer she'ene muga, if a person has a Tanakh that's not been, thoroughly checked through for mistakes, it can lead to distortion. Omer ba'ami ad lamed yom, until 30 days will give you a reasonable amount of time. Mutal l'sh'oisi, you can hold on to it. Mekan ve'elach, past that, asal l'sh'oisi, you're not allowed to hold on to it. Mishum shenemar, for the reason that we mentioned earlier, the same pasuk al tashkin bo'elecha avlo, only have things which are straightforward, clear, and honest in your possession. Omer v'nach. Eidim she'amru. Amon nahayu dvarenu. Ein emon. As we mentioned before, if the Eidim got a say, this shtar here is a shtar amon. It was given in trust ahead of time, ahead of the actual transaction. They're not believed because they're pretty much going against the actual shtar. Likewise, if they claim that there was a moida means, suppose Reuven forces Shimon to sell him a field. Shimon knows, I'm not going to get out of this. The only way is to inform Edom, tell them in advance, look, I'm being forced into this deal, which I don't want to do. I want you to know, it's being done against my wishes, and it's totally null and void. Right? See, he tells us to them privately, this way they know. That's called Maida. So Edom come forth, and they say, look, this bill of sale, this shtar mechira on this property, although not forged, this is our signatures, but you should know it was done under duress. Maida hayud vareinu. Our signatures were affixed to a shtar which was comprised after the seller had notified us in advance that it's being done against his will. So pretty much they're nullifying the whole transaction. So are they believed? In this case as well, they're not believed because, once again, they're trying to negate an actual document. We have a shtar here, and they're claiming that the shtar is null and void. They can't do that. So that's Rav Nachman's opinion. Marbar v'ashi omar, he splits the two. He makes a distinction. Whereas by amon ha'yud v'reinu ein amon, over there I understand because they're incriminating themselves, and they weren't supposed to get involved in a shtar amon. But ma'ida ha'yud v'reinu ne'amonin. Of course they believed. My time, what's the difference? Hai nitin likosif. By ma'ida, they are actually helping this poor fellow. This way they get Reuven off his back. So their cooperation, their involvement was perfectly legitimate, justified, and recommended. As opposed to the amana, why'd you get involved in amana? You're not meant to write a shtar amana, so you're incriminating yourself. And we know a person doesn't have the ability to incriminate himself. So Rav Nachman is the one who holds that whether they're claiming amana or ma'ida, we don't accept their claim. What about the following case? Tanai, hayu dvarenu, mau. Edom come forth. We signed the shtar, but you should know there was a stipulation, a condition attached to this deal, which nobody knows about. We do, and we want to tell you about it. And the only way this deal goes through is if that condition is fulfilled. Are they believed? Why would they be believed in this case? More than Maida, more than amanah? The answer is, Mardo of amanah, in those two cases, Hainu Taima, the reason why they're not believed, that's because, as we explained, the Ka'akri Le Lishtar, they're undoing the Shtar. To us, the Shtar looks perfect and legitimate, and they're undoing it. No, it's amanah, it's Mardo. Vainami Ka'akri Le Shtar, and here is all by Tanai. No difference. They're uprooting the Shtar. There are no stipulations in the Shtar. The Shtar simply states, Reuven purchased a field from Shimon. That's it. Show's over. And they're adding all kinds of deals and stipulations. They're basically usurping the Shtar. Or Dilma, or perhaps you can say, no, Tanai, a condition, is not something which negates the actual Shtar. A sale is still a sale. Nosa achriti is something external. It's an external factor. They're fully acknowledging the legitimacy of the transaction, legitimacy of the deal and the shtar. They're just adding another factor which is important to keep in mind. That condition must be met as well. So perhaps that's not called an akiras hashtar, in which case we can take their word for it. Amar Leh, Sir of Nachman acknowledged, yes, ki asal come on the din, where the fellows come to the din, Amrin and Louis tell them, under these circumstances, we tell them, yeah, you have to keep your stipulation, you keep your tanai, keep your condition, even though it was not mentioned in the shtar, but the Edom informed us about the tanai, you have to keep it, fulfill the condition, and go down and collect on your shtar. What about if there's a conflict between the two Edom in the shtar? So we have a properly written document, two Edom signed, confirmed. And now, the two Edom step forth. There's a conflict between the two Edom. Edom are Tanai. Reuven says, look, I signed the Shtar, sure, but you should know there was a Tanai attached to it. Ve'edom ain't a Tanai. The other one disagrees. No, what are you talking about? I don't remember any Tanai. Is he believed or not? Amar Papa? No. We ignore the Ed who claims Tanai. You know why? Tarvayu b'shtorah ma'aliyah kamisadi. Because both, Reuven and Shimon, are both acknowledging it. This is a Shtorah ma'aliyah. That this is a properly written shtar. They're acknowledging that these signatures are perfectly valid and legitimate. Kamasadi, they are being made. So basically you have a double confirmation to Edom that this shtar is legitimate. Vaidukamar Tanai. Now the single Edom claims that there was a condition attached to it. Havalechad, he's just one fellow against two. Not just against the other fellow, one against one. It's one against two. Because he himself already acknowledged that this shtar is a proper shtar. You don't reckon with the words of a single person if he is challenged by two people. Rav Huna doesn't understand what's going on. If that would be so, I feel a tarvayu nami. So even if both Edom would get up and say, there was a Tanai, you can't believe them. Why? Because according to you, once we acknowledge that the Shtar is legitimate, we can't turn around and add Tanai, because we're going against ourselves. Is that what you mean? Well, it's actually not true. Because a minute ago we said that if two Edom come and say, Tanai hayu dvareinu, all Shitas agree that they can do that. Ela Amrina, apparently because we say, they're not going against the actual Shtar. That's number one. And number two, it's not like I said it's fine and then I said it's not fine. I'm explaining myself. Sure, I put my signature on the shtar, but you should know there was a condition involved. I'm not changing my mind. I'm not going against myself. I'm explaining myself. Hani lemekar sadusayikos. When the Edom come and say we signed, but there was a tanai involved, they're sort of... literally means they're uprooting their edus. It means to say that they're interpreting, they're explaining for us, they're presenting for us, the circumstance of the edus, the setting, the framing, so to speak, the edus. Sure, we signed. Sure, the field was sold, but you should know it was sold with 10 conditions. So we accept that. Why wouldn't we? Hainami here as well, when the single aid gets up and says, I signed the Mishtar, But you should know there were 10 conditions involved. He's not going against himself. He's coming to reframe his edus. And that's how we pass. So bottom line is, if the Edom claim as follows, they claim Amana, according to all shittas, they're not believed. They claim Meida, according to Rav Nachman. They're not going to be believed. Because they're going against the actual shtar, according to Mamre Ravashi, they are believed because there's nothing wrong with getting involved in a shtar Meida. They're not incriminating themselves. We accept it. According to all shittas, if they come back and add a tznai, they're believed. And according to the Maskanas HaGemara, even if it's 1/8 who claims as such, you have to believe him. Turn around on. Shnayim chasum anal ashtar, if 2 eidim signed on a document. Umeisu, and they passed away. So now we have to confirm the shtar, we have to confirm the legitimacy of these chasimois, we have to certify the shtar. How do we do it? The actual parties are not here. Ubo shnayim anal shuk, so 2 people come off the street, va'amru, they tell us, Yadanu shik sab yadam. We can tell you for a fact, these signatures are legitimate. Aval, with a big but. Anusim hayu, ketanim hayu, psulei edus hayu. There was something wrong with them. They were forced to do it. They were minors. They were psulim. Hare elu ne'manim. We have to believe it. After all, they are the certifiers. But, v'miyesh edim shik sab yadam hu. Who's that? Let's say you have edim who tell us about the legitimacy of the signatures, without adding a but. Or you have an independent confirmation comparing it to a different shtar. You have another shtar, another document nearby, which had already been challenged in Bezdin. Bezdin was then certified in Bezdin. So now you have a certified shtar next to you, which you can use as a prototype to which to compare our signatures. And you see that it's the same handwriting. So now you have independent confirmation of these for these signatures on our shtar. And now we have the other eidim will come and say, 1 second, but these fellows were anusim uktanim. We don't have to reckon with that testimony because we don't need them. We already have these chasimis independently verified through other sources. Ein elu ne'emanin, so these newcomers are not believed. Really? Umagbina bay, we actually collect with this shtar, kibashtar mai, like with a proper legitimate shtar. Vamai, how can you do that? Train in, you have 2 against 2. Then you have the 2 eidim in the shtar. Fine. Confirmed. Legitimate chasimis. But you have 2 eidim. Other eidim will come and tell us, by the way, we are going to reveal to you the circumstances behind the chasimis. They were ktanim, they were psulim, they were. 2 against 2. Amar Rav Sheshes. Zoyis Emeris. We will learn from this halacha, from this brayso, an interesting concept. Hakchasha, when there is contradiction between 2 eidim, tchilas hazama, it is treated like, it's like reminiscent of the halacha of hazama. Hazama means that 2 eidim come and approach the first eidim and say, what are you talking about? You saw this in this story on this and this date. You were with us in a different location at that time. That's hazama. The Torah says, the Edom Zoymim, the ones who were challenged, are punished severely. They were given the same, punishment that they were attempting to apply to that poor, unfortunate victim. So again, we have 2 Edom who come and speak about a story. Reuben killed Shimon on Sunday, in this location. Levi and Yehuda come along and say, what are you talking about, Reuben and Shimon? You were with us in a different place at that time. Reuben and Shimon become Edom Zoymim. And this certainly has to take place in their presence because you're incriminating them, right? Likewise, says Rav Sheshes. Even though over here it's just hakchash, it's not hazama. We're not speaking about where and when you were located or not located. We're speaking about hakchash. It's a contradiction on the facts. We have 2 eidim in the shtar saying this is what happened, and 2 other eidim saying, well, guess what? These fellows were psulim. They have no right to testify. The whole thing is possible. They're basically being makhish. They're contradicting. Tchilas hazamahi. We treat it like something reminiscent of Edom Zaymimin. And therefore, Kushem Shein is Mezimin as Eidim El Befneim, just like by Eidim Zemimin, you can only do it in their presence. What are you talking about? You're telling us stories, you were with us in the other place in that same time. That certainly only takes place in front of there, in front of those Eidim. Rashi brings a pasuk that when you're trying to incriminate, trying to be Machayiv, you have to stand in front of the person and speak to him directly, confront him. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Kach, likewise, Ein Machishin as Eidim El Befneim, when it comes to Akhash, when it comes to contradicting, which is close in nature to Azama, has to be Befanav. So you can't be Mevatel the Eidus unless you face them directly, unless you confront them. And over here, you're not doing that because the second pair who are coming today are not actually experiencing the first pair who are no longer amongst the living. So therefore, it's not considered Eidus Hakchasha, and we use the Shtar as before. Of course, this is a bit hard to understand. To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, so what did we learn today? We started with a brisa, machlekes Rameh Rabbonon, a shtar that does not have kiyum, and Eidim come and say, look, we are the ones that signed. But we were psulim, but we were ktanim, but we were anusim. Chachamim say, well, this is the classic pesha asa, pesha hita, we trust him. Rameh says, no way. The Gemara explains, because they're going against the accepted minug, which is the litigants, the parties involved would never sign up Eidim psulim, would never sign up Eidim Ketanim. And why by Anusim are they not believed? We're speaking that the Leiva is Maid, that he wrote the Shtar, and therefore we don't need certification anymore. So indeed, we had a machlekes between Rav Huna, who says Maid b'Shtar shekasvai doesn't need Kiyim. Rav Nachman disagrees, even in the case of a Leiva being Maid, you still have to independently certify the Shtar, otherwise, you are at the mercy of the Leiva's claims. Then we have halacha that if he claims that the shtar ha'amana means it was given ahead of time in trust, he's not neman. Who's claiming as such? We have three choices: the leiva, the mavo, the edim. So the leiva claims he's not believed because we're going with shitas Rav Huna Marav. Once he's moided that he wrote the shtar, no more claims. Or the mavo is claiming as such, but he is disadvantaging other people as well. He's not believed. Or the edim are claiming as such, they're not believed because otherwise it would be an admission of guilt and one cannot incriminate himself. Not meant to write a shtar amona, or a shtar pas, or a shtar perua, according to most some shittas. And likewise, not meant to have in your possession a sefer she'eno imuga past 30 days. We concluded with several cases of Edom claiming shtar amonahu, not believed. Maidahu ayu machlekes. Tonight, yes, they're believed, even if it's just 1/8. And we conclude with the Braisa. If it's 2 against 2, and it's not being done in their presence, we consider the shtar valid, and we collect with it. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.